And Jesus took the loaves and gave thanks and distributed it to those who were seated as much as they wanted. And he did the same with the fish. And when they had all had enough to eat, he said to the disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled the 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. And after the people saw the signs Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is the one to come into the world." And Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the word. We thank you so much for bringing us here to read of one of the biggest miracles that we've seen as you were doing your ministry, besides your resurrection. But Lord, we thank you that you were showing these signs so that people can see that you are real, that you are the King. And Father God, as we read and study this sign, we pray that you would engulf us with that fire that you give us, and fill us with the Holy Spirit, and allow us to just find you and chase you even more through the week. We love you, God, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, so the first main point is that Jesus, he tests your faith. He tests our faith in times of need. And so let's get into the first 4 verses. It says, "Sometime after this, Jesus, he crossed the far shore of the Sea of Galilee." And that's around 9 miles. Well, it's 17 by 7 miles long. So it was long. And then a great crowd of people, they followed him because they saw the signs that he performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus, he went up the mountainside and sat down with his disciples, and the Jewish Passover feast was near. And so here we can see that Jesus is followed by a large crowd, by a multitude, it says in different translations, by thousands of people because of the signs and miracles that they're doing, he was doing. And then also it specified that the Jewish Passover, the festival, was nearby. That means people were literally going out of their countries and their hometown to travel to Jerusalem to celebrate, but Jesus was nearby, and maybe 120 miles from Jerusalem, but he was nearby, and they're like, "Oh, why not go check out this man we heard of who's doing signs and wonders and miracles? Why don't we see it for ourselves?" Remember, back then, they did not have TikTok, which is banned today. It's banned. It got banned for this. Okay, yeah. And then they did not have YouTube. They did not have social media. They could not see any of these magic tricks or any signs or any entertainment on a phone or a device. They had to go and see for themselves. And so they followed Jesus. And this crowd, they were following him because of different reasons. Some, they really believed in him, trusted in the words and the teachings that he was saying. They believed he was the Messiah, the promised one. Some of them, they were going there for entertainment. How many of you guys like entertainment? Like, so many of us, we enjoy entertainment, right? So some people just want to be entertained. It's like, whoa, that's crazy stuff going on. And so others, yeah, that I believe that's like the main two groups, right? And others just wanted to see it for themselves and check out who this man was. And so being followed, this sets up the scene of where Jesus was and specifies this point because before that, Jesus was doing his ministry in Galilee, and he was doing like healing the sick, the lame, healing the blind, and doing a bunch of other miracles. And now he crossed the sea. And so in verse 5, it continues where Jesus, he asked a question to test the faith of his disciple, test the faith of his follower, and question him, saying, "Where shall we buy this bread for these people to eat?" as he saw the crowd, as he saw the people. And this crowd was a crowd of 5,000 men, and studies show that if it's just 5,000 men, then women and children, all of that combined would be at least 15,000 to 20,000. So I would like, I'd like to meet in the middle, 17,500 people following Jesus. That's the size of a stadium. So many people were following him. Just imagine that, trying to fill this room up. It'd just be crowded and cramped, right? So he asked Philip a crucial question. Where shall we buy this bread? Because he was concerned of not only their spiritual need, but their immediate need. And he also is concerned for your needs as well. And so as he's facing this impossible situation, he's trying to use this to teach his disciples, to teach Philip, Andrew, to rely on him rather than their own abilities. And so this was a test. It specifically said it was a test because Jesus, he already knew what was going to happen. He already knew the answer. He already knew how he was going to approach this situation. So it's more like a rhetorical question. But clearly, Philip didn't know. Philip gave an answer that a lot of people, a lot of us would also answer too. And myself, I may also reply like this. So Philip answered him and said, it would take more than half a year's wages or 200 denarii, which denarii are 1 day of wage. That means 200 days of wages, enough to buy bread for each one of them to have a bite. And so Philip's focus was on the size of the problem rather than the power of the provider, rather than giving an answer, oh, Jesus, you are that answer. Jesus, you're going to feed us all. That was impossible in their mind, right? 15,000 people, how will they be able to eat and feast on that? Well, his response showed a lack of faith of what Jesus could do. And so we can take this with a key lesson where Jesus, he uses these moments of need to test and grow your faith, and inviting you to trust him all the more and not focus on that problem, but to focus on him who is the provider, ultimate provider, who is the sustainer, who is the protector. And so to give you guys an illustration on this, how Jesus tests our faith, my faith at least, when I was a seminary student in 2017, started that, worked part-time, broke, I did not know how God would provide for me. I did not know how God would sustain me, but everything that I have is given and provided by him. My wife, Christine, like, that's one of the greatest gifts of all. And then having Noah, that's another. It's like a family. Those are beautiful things. And I hope that all of you guys would like a family in the future as well, and that loves the Lord, that's rooted in him. But that time, I didn't know. But one of my greatest traits, by the grace of God, is faith. And I love to operate by faith. Even when I don't see it right in front of me, I still have faith that God is going to provide. God's going to expand. God's going to take this diligent hand and make things beautiful, multiply it. And so have you guys been taking tests in school? Yeah. How many of you guys like taking tests? Well, okay, yeah, good answer. Me too. I don't like tests, but tests are pretty good in order to mark your milestones, mark how far you've gone. And as Jesus, he tested me so many times and told me, hey, you're not going to be able to survive in the Bay Area because it's way too expensive. You're not going to be able to live a nice life here because you don't have enough. But, and then, how many of you guys live in a nice house right now? Maybe apartment, condo? Yeah? Well, let me tell you, Like, as I'm researching and doing, looking for a house, I'm like, hey, you guys gotta thank your parents for this, because it's so expensive. How many of you guys are living rent-free? Are you guys paying rent right now? No, you're not paying rent? No one? Well, this is, if you buy $1 million house here, but my estimate was the house would be 1.5 million, but 1 million house, and you pay off everything, and including the principal, the no interest, no debt, and you have everything paid off, then, well, actually, mortgage would be 5,000, property tax, insurance, repairs, utilities, HOA fees, all of this would add up to be around 7,000-8,000. But if you pay everything off and you don't have that mortgage fee, then it would be still around $3,500, $4,000. How many of you guys have that much money in your bank account? No one, none. Are you guys giving thanks to your parents for giving you a house to live at, live in? We gotta be thankful. You can't take this for granted. Living in the Bay Area is hard, but we don't focus on the problem. Jesus is testing. Jesus is saying, hey, you trust in me. I will provide in times of need. And yeah, God has provided. God has given me more than I can ever ask for. And so that's why when you obey him, you keep his covenant, you keep your side of the deal, then he says that out of all nations, you will be my treasured possession. You will be my holy people. You will be chosen people. You'll be my ambassadors. And I will use you. I will choose you. Now, that was from Exodus to the Israelites. And I believe that he has chosen each one of you guys as well. And the earth, it is the Lord's. It is his. All the cattle on Thousand Hills, the beast, the animals, the in the forest, the gold, the silver, it's all his. The earth is mine, he said. And that's why we can trust that he has everything in his hand. Now, this shows that God, he has full ownership of these things, that everything in creation belongs to God. He provides and he's sovereign. His dominion encompasses all nations, creatures, and material wealth. And so let me ask you, are you focusing on your needs and not turning to Jesus? Are you being tested this day and age? And I hope you guys are feeling that, oh yeah, I am being tested. Because each and every day I'm being tested. I want to be tested. I want to be, I want to grow. Because with that test, I know it'll push me each and every day. And with that test, your faith will increase. Your faith will produce perseverance. Even when you don't feel like doing it, and you do it, it creates character. Do the right thing. And so, I believe the test of faith in times of need is a real thing, especially when you get to adulting. Right now, you guys are enjoying it, middle and high school. I hope you guys are not having to worry about rent, your next food, your next clothing. You guys got to be thankful for that. But in times of troubles, in times of challenges, pain, suffering, you got to call upon the Lord on that day of trouble. And he says, I will deliver you. I will help you. I will provide, protect you. And you will honor me. The reason why God does everything, it is ultimately for his glory. And if you're aligned with giving God all the glory, then he will be able to deliver you. He will be able to sustain you and lead you. And that's why it's so crucial that you shift your focus upon God, Jesus, the founder, perfecter of your faith. You have to stop focusing on what is impossible. in your situation and start focusing that on the truth, focusing on building your faith in him by trusting in his faith, by acknowledging in his ways, by submitting to him, by laying your ego and pride at the door, down, rejecting it, and being humble, coming to him with everything that you have. Because Jesus, he already knows what he's gonna do. He already knows what you need before you know it. And he will use that need in your life to grow you, grow your faith, to reveal his power. Don't you want God to reveal his power through you? I think that's amazing. I think that's awesome. But you will be tested. So, are you guys ready? Because I believe that each one of us, we need to be battle tested as we are part of the army of God, as we are soldiers of God. We need those tests to make sure that we're ready to fight this battle, whether it's in the future, whether it's now. Maybe you have a friend who's going through something difficult and they're dying, they're not surviving, they're giving up. But when you're battle tested, then you'll be able to help others even better. And so with that test, embrace it. Embrace the challenge. It's not easy. Next, Jesus, he multiplies what you offer to him in faith. And so I didn't talk about Philip too much, but Philip's answer here was more pessimistic. Philip's answer here pretty much showed that he was focused on that problem, forgetting of God's glorious power in the past. How he's been doing so many miracles, why not now? Why not in the future? His pessimistic faith, thinking, oh, the worst to come, fails to think about God's power. His mind is on earthly things, not on the spiritual things. It's carnal. Carnal is the flesh, and it's not spiritual. His pessimistic faith shows that the problem is too big for him, and he thinks it's too big for God. But is any problem too big for God? We know the answer. Easy, right? No, absolutely not. But do you truly believe? Because where do you run to when you encounter a problem in your life? Do you run to social media? Do you run to the things of the world? Or do you run to Jesus? And so it is true that pessimistic faith fails to allow you to focus on God. So it's important that you respond instead of saying, oh, I don't have enough this, I don't have enough time, I don't have enough resource, I don't have enough energy, and so I'm just going to shut down. But no, let's continue. Where Jesus, he multiplies what you have to offer him. He multiplies it. And so Andrew is one of his disciples. And Andrew is one of his first disciples. Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist. And then John the Baptist pointed to Jesus, and he left John the Baptist to go to Jesus. And when he saw Jesus is the real deal and believed it, he also invited his brother, Simon Peter, to come join. And then Simon Peter is a rock, right? He's the one that is the forefront. So he took a back seat to Peter as Peter served the Lord. So Simon Peter, the brother of Simon Peter, spoke up. Here is a little boy with five small barley loaves. Now, barley loaves back then, let me tell you, that it was the bread for the poor people. It was the bread that's for the poorest of the poor people, right? And he says it is a five small barley loaves. That means it's not big. That means I probably can eat three of those barley breads and then two small fish. Christine can devour those two fish easily in just like matter of minutes. And so then Andrew said, how far will they go among so many? And so this shows, yes, he was pretty optimistic, kind of, at first, by bringing to Jesus what he found. And he found this five loaves, two fish, and he gave it to Jesus, gave the boy to Jesus and offered it to Jesus. But then he also had that question, how far will it go among 5,000, 10,000, 15,000 people? It can feed one or two people, but how will this feed 5,000 men? Men who can eat and devour stuff, men who traveled 9 miles to get to where they're at, miles after miles. I would be hungry, I would be thirsty. And it was in the mountains, right? And so in the mountains, there is just nature. They don't have any vendors, any bakeries in the middle of the mountain. So how will they find anything? And so they found this two loaves, two fish. And this really shows that Jesus, he doesn't need much. He just needs you to offer what you have in your hand, what you found, what you find in faith to him. And as Andrew brings this boy's lunch to Jesus, that doubt started to creep in. Will it be enough? Will it be good enough? And that's a common question that Christine would ask me as she's ordering things for youth group, as she's ordering things for different events. Will this feed everyone? And by the way, we do have leaders meeting after. And so, barley loaves were the food of the poor, and the fish were small and dry. And so, how will this feed? And he continues by blessing the small offering, and then multiplying it, and feeds it to the entire crowd with more than enough to satisfy everyone. And he does this by giving thanks, which demonstrates his trust in the Father's provision, reminding you to give thanks even more when you see the result. So it says, Jesus said, have the people sit down. And I think it reminds me of on Friday, 2 weeks ago, like our middle school boys, they're super active, even in a small room. And then, you know, Ethan was jumping around and we're like, it's not time to go yet. Dude, chill. And then Sean was like, come, sit down. And then he said, hey, sit. Good boy. I'm like, sit down. And he sit down. Good boy. And then they all laughed. You know, for our middle schoolers, we gotta have fun. We gotta have some good times still and create memories. But hey, still, Jesus said, have the people sit down. And there was plenty of grass in that place. And they sat down. Good boy. About 5,000 men were there. And Jesus then took the loaves. And then, this is so important, he gave thanks for the bread. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your provision. And he didn't see that they were lacking. He was seeing an abundance. It's a perspective from God's perspective, Jesus' perspective, that there was plenty to go around. And then they distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. So it was an all-you-can-eat buffet, food for everyone, no limit. Eat till you're full. And so they ate the fish, the bread, and he did the same with the fish, by giving thanks and giving it to the disciples to give it out. And so this really shows how Jesus' thanksgiving demonstrates his trust in the Father's provision and reminds us to give thanks in all circumstances, to pray continually. He prayed and to rejoice always. This is God's will for you in Christ. And so Jesus, he blesses the small offering, multiplies it, feeds it. And there is more than enough to satisfy everyone. How many of you guys are hungry? Yeah? Yeah? Some hungry people here? Well, we praise God for the food that he provides. I'm hungry. I fast every morning. Well, yeah, intermittent fasting. So Christine thinks I'm not, like, she thinks I'm okay. It's like, you can go on and just not eat. I'm just like, yep, that's right. I don't want her to worry about me being hungry. But hey, I'm fasting. I'm praying every single morning till noon so that, you know, God can do his work. But, you know, Jesus prayed. He gave thanks. He rejoiced. And he multiplies what was he offered to them. And then in verse 12, when they all had enough to eat, they were satisfied. He said to his disciples, gather the pieces that were left over, that let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them, filled the 12 baskets. It was just one basket. Now there's 12 with the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. And so this shows the abundance of leftover, highlighting Jesus' ability to provide more than enough. The 12 baskets symbolizes a perfect number of God's provision for his people, for those who follow him, just as he provided manna in the wilderness. And so do you offer the little that you have to Jesus? Do you trust that he will multiply it far beyond what you can imagine? Because you may say, I don't have anything, but you still have your time. You still maybe have something small. Maybe God told you to give it to someone else. Be generous. We got to keep planting seeds. And in my life, actually the last 2 years, I've been saying this almost every day. I'm here to plant the seeds of the gospel, to save more souls so that people can say yes to Jesus forever. That's my reason for showing up and planting seeds and online and offline as well. And with that, it causes me to have to remain on that vision. We are here because we want to see revival here in the Bay Area and beyond. But how much does it cost to see a revival? How much does it cost to fill this whole room, the stadium? How much does it cost? It costs a lot of money. But in the end, we know that God provides. God will make a way for there to be a revival. We're going to continue fighting. Yes, I'm not alone. I'm glad that you guys are here too. We're going to see revival. And that's the big picture. We paint it. And then we consistently stay in the process, trusting that God is going to work. Doesn't mean you sit back and do nothing. No, you still got to be rooted in him. You got to be diligent, disciplined. You got to be generous, sacrifice. Got to serve. It takes repetition. It may feel like it's mundane and boring. Maybe like, oh, I do it the same thing every day. I don't want to do anymore. And that's when a lot of people quit. But we don't quit. We continue forward no matter what, because we know it's the right thing to do in him. We stay grounded in him. We trust him, even when things don't go our way. And that will create your character. Your character will be developed. And I know that each one of us, we're growing, even at this age. I'm 35 years old, officially, this week, turned 35 a couple days ago. And now I'm double your age. Well, I've been double your age, some of you guys, not all of you, but still, I'm still learning and growing. It doesn't stop. The moment someone thinks that they've arrived, that they've reached the end, it's the moment that they stop growing. May we never get there until we get to heaven. Then we arrive. That's the place. That's the place we want to go to. So we live for Christ. So to live is Christ, to die is gain. So we have to live for him. And so we praise God who supplies all the seeds to the sower. And we're here to sow the seeds as well. We're here to spread the gospel. He gives us the bread for the food. And he will continue increasing the supply, the store of seed, because he is able to do immeasurably, abundantly, above, more than you can ask of, dream of, hope for. So, think about what you hold on to so tightly in your hand. Are you willing to give that up to God? Are you willing to sacrifice for him? Because a lot of people are not willing. Now, if they waited for more resources, if they did not bring the 5 loaves, 2 fish to Jesus, then what is there to multiply? We don't know. But we praise God that they were faithful in taking a small step of faith in offering what they had to Jesus. And with that, it shows the key word, be thankful. He gave thanks. And giving thanks even before the results happened. And that's true faith. When you give thanks to God for the future. I already give thanks to God because all of you guys, I see you guys are so smart, so diligent, and you're going to be growing up to work and continue doing amazing things for God. I see it. And I believe it. And I know it. And I know I'm just like maybe a cog in the machine just to help you guys or be a part of your life. But hey, I say God used me so that I can best serve each one of you guys and to serve you guys at the highest level so you guys can talk to me anytime. I respond like a gamer, like a rager, just like nice and fast, right? But I'm here for you guys, here to support you, lead you. And number three, Jesus, he's the true king who satisfies your soul. He's the true king. Now, in verse 14, the people, after they saw that he fed the 5,000, after they saw the sign he performed in verse 14, they began to say, ah, surely this is the prophet. This is the one who came into this world. This is the one we've been waiting for, the Messiah. 100% sure. 100% certainty. And so the crowd, they recognize Jesus as the promised prophet, Messiah, referring to Moses' prophecy in Deuteronomy chapter 18. However, their understanding of his role is incomplete. They thought that he's supposed to be a political king or leader, maybe even start the Jewish nation and establish them on earth. But Jesus did not come to fulfill their earthly expectations. No, he is here to fulfill the eternal plan of God. He's here to fulfill something far greater than what's on earth, because what's on earth will fade away. Everything that you see is temporary. But what is eternal? What is unseen is eternal. And so Jesus, he knew what was on their hearts, on their mind. And he knew their true intention was to give them security, stability, food, healing. They're like, if he's our king, our leader, everything would be great, right? So Jesus, he knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, what did he do? Withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Now, earlier he withdrew to the mountain because he was doing a bunch of things and then he was tired, he's human, and he wanted rest with his disciples. But people came to him and then still stalked him and followed him. And then he fed them and now he's alone in the mountains to find God. And after this, it continues with the great miracle of Jesus walking on water. But here, Jesus, he didn't come to meet your temporal desires. He came to give you eternal life and to satisfy the deepest hungers of your soul. Just think about it. Your soul is dead without him. Your soul is gonna end up in ruin and destruction if it wasn't for Jesus. when the Israelites in the Old Testament, they were stuck in the wilderness, what did God do? God supplied their needs and rained manna. He gave them bread, and that manna satisfied their physical hunger for a day. But Jesus, he's the bread of life, and he satisfies you for eternity, offering life that never perishes. And so are you seeking Jesus for temporal things? Because a lot of people, they start saying, yeah, we're going to preach Jesus. We're going to have Jesus because he's going to give us money. He's going to give us our Lambo, our house, our everything. And that's the wrong mindset. People are doing it for themselves. And when they don't receive it, they're like, oh, this is baloney. This is crazy stuff. No, we're here to emphasize that Jesus did not come to just satisfy your physical needs, even though he can, even though he does. Remember how expensive it is to live in the Bay Area, $8,000, $9,000, $10,000. Each family, each household. But yet, you guys don't have to worry about that. Stress-free, woo! Just worry about school and your friends and little dramas. Hey, all those things look so small compared to when you see the bigger picture, compared to eternity. And that's why we should have a sense of urgency to look to Jesus for that eternity. Look to Jesus to also bless others around you, for they are hungry. They are lost. They see, oh, well, I go to a good school, go to a good college, get a good job, and then I work for 40 years, then I retire, and then eventually I die. What's the point of all this? It's temporary. Your life here is like vapor. One day it'll fade away. But it determines where you end up for eternity, whether it's in his presence or separation from him. Your life here is like wearing a suit. Your soul is wearing a human suit. And one day this human suit will come off. And it will determine where you end up. And so Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And actually the last few weeks in my life, in my own like private times, I was like, well, our soul, we need bread. We're hungry. And so where does your daily bread come from? Where does your daily satisfaction come from? The Lord's Prayer is, give us this day our daily bread. And I always thought it was more of like, just eat food and stuff. But now I'm shifting that perspective and saying, oh, give us this day our daily bread. It's not just physical, but it's spiritual. And so are you feeding your spiritual life, your soul, each and every day, spending 15 minutes each day in that word at least, to feed your soul? Because if you're not, then your soul will perish. Well, it will feel unsatisfied. So Jesus later, he says, I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. So seek that eternal satisfaction. Don't look to the temporal things for fulfillment. Trust Jesus to meet your deepest needs. Submit to his kingship. Follow Jesus, not for what he can give you, but because of who he is. Jesus being the bread of life in you. Being the bread of life to satisfy you will give you true satisfaction in life. So, in conclusion, we got to remember that Jesus tests your faith in times of need, that he uses these moments to grow you so that you can trust him all the more. Things look impossible for you, but nothing is impossible for God. And that is for certain. For certain, period. Number two. So bring your needs to Jesus. Jesus multiplies what you offer in faith. No offering is too small for him to use. So what must you do? You got to offer your all to Jesus. Your life, your time, your energy, your resource, your everything. Give it to Jesus. I'm all in for him. And he multiplies everything. It's just a testimony that I want to give even more. He multiplies what you offer in faith. Just like he fed 10,000, 20,000 people. It's impossible for us, but not impossible for God. And number three, Jesus, he satisfies your deepest hunger. He is the bread of life who gives you eternal life. And so, anchor yourself to Jesus daily through the word. The bread of life. You got to ask each other. Ask yourself, do you have bread of life in you? Where do you get your daily bread? Are you feeding yourself daily? So let's pray, because Jesus, he's inviting you to trust you, trust him, to offer him what you have. Find true satisfaction in him alone. So will you trust the bread of life today, Jesus? Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you so much for your love, for being the bread of life, for being provider. We thank you for all the challenges and the tests that's put in front of us so that we can grow stronger in you. We want to be battle tested, Lord. Even if it's hard, Lord, we thank you because we're not doing this alone. We have this community here to grow together. Lord God, we go through tough times, but those tough times, you don't let us go through it alone, and you help us overcome. And ultimately, those tough times, those mess, those tests become a testimony. It becomes a message of you working in our life, a message that cannot be denied because it shows how true, how real you are. So, Lord God, we offer our life to you. You are the bread of life. You are the living water. You are the one that strengthens us, protects us. You're the one that does this with love, with grace. We cannot give anything more than what you give us. Meaning to say, everything that we have to offer you compares to nothing. Compares to you is nothing. To what you have to give to us is nothing. We give something that's temporal, but you give us something that is eternal. And so, Father God, break our hearts for what breaks yours. Let us trust in you all the more. We love you so much. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.